Psalm 103 and verse 7, that's our text this morning. I'm not so much preaching to you today as teaching out of God's Word and sharing with you some of the things that have been happening in this last week. In our attempt to understand the ways of God, Psalm 103 and verse 7, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Father, we just thank You for teaching us Your ways. And Lord, for demonstrating Your acts. Lord, we just pray that You would help us to have understanding hearts and attentive ears, that we might learn from You and know Your ways. Lord, not knowing Your ways has caused problems in our world, and we know that Satan tries to blind our eyes from Your ways. And Lord, one of the results of that is marital problems. Lord, we pray for this couple that is experiencing these problems. Lord, we thank You that they have faith enough to ask Glenn to bring it before this church to pray for them. And that's what we do right now, Lord. We pray for them. And we ask, Lord, for miracles to take place. We ask for those walls that have been built to come crashing down, and that there would be an openness and a oneness, and doors of communication would be unlocked, that, Lord, You would put this marriage back together and strengthen it more than it has ever been. Lord, we pray for this family that has lost a loved one. Lord, how their hearts must be aching today, and how sorrowful they are. We ask that You would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to comfort them today. We ask, Lord, for the peace that passes all understanding, that it would guard their heart and mind in You today. Lord, that they would be drawn closer to the arms of the Savior, and they would lean upon the everlasting arms today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most persistent questions in the minds of both youth and adults is, what is my purpose in life? And as a pastor, I ask the same question for our church. What is Your purpose, Lord, for this church? What is Your vision? What is Your plan for this, Your church? A vision, I've come to understand, is something that is of a purpose that you can build your life around. A vision is a purpose that you can build your life around. In order to understand why God made us and what His will is for our lives, or for our church, it is essential to understand the ways of God. Each of us can expect God's major dealings will be in harmony with His basic ways. He wants us to know what His ways are so that we can properly respond to the events that He brings into our lives. God said of His own people in Psalm 95 and verse 10, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known My ways. So God was grieved with the children of Israel because they did not know, they did not understand His ways. God wants us, as His children, as His people, He wants us to understand His ways and how He works. We need to understand His ways so that we do not err, and so that other people will see His mighty acts. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Because Moses was willing to follow God's ways, then God was free to demonstrate acts, mighty acts, to the people of Israel. Now, there are three basic aspects about the ways of God. The first is the birth of a vision. Each of us have a special purpose for being here. You know, you really need to get a grip on this. Young people, you have a special purpose for being on this planet. God has a special plan just for your life, that only you can fulfill that plan that God has for you. Adults, God has a plan for you as well. And I don't think He ever gives up on that plan. It's a lifelong plan or goal that He has for your life. God has a vision of what He can do with you. Open your eyes and see what God wants to accomplish. Abraham had a vision of being the father of a great nation. Joseph had a vision that he someday would be a leader and that people would bow down to him. Moses had a vision of leading his people out of the bondage of Egypt. The disciples of Jesus had a vision of establishing and being an important part of the kingdom of God. A grain of wheat has a vision of reproducing itself and many more grains of wheat. I have a vision for the church. People for this church have had a vision. About 3 or 4 years ago, we had a vision which included obtaining some property to build a new church. A few years ago, actually, we looked around and we said that if we could have any piece of land, if we could have our choice, we would take the corner of Highway 128 and 60th Avenue on the northwest side of the road there. And we began to envision what God could do and what we could do for God if we had had this piece of property. But not only do we have this birth of a vision, but God many times takes us through the death of a vision. Sometimes that vision is a double death. We begin to understand God's ways. We see the great value of going through the death of a vision. Sarah was barren and too old to have children. That was the death of Abraham's vision, to be the father of many nations. Joseph's vision died when his brother sold him into slavery. Some merchants came along and made a slave of Joseph. Later he was falsely condemned, accused, and he was sentenced to prison, to spend his years in prison. Pharaoh doubled the workload of the Israelite slaves, and the people began to doubt Moses. Can you imagine this? They look to him as their deliverer, and since Moses comes on the scene, nothing but bad things are happening to them. They have to do the same amount of work, they have to get the same results of work done, but they have to do more work to accomplish it. The materials are no longer provided for them. They have to go out and get the materials, but their output needed to stay the same. Jesus was killed by the very ones he came to save. And the disciples saw their vision lying in a tomb as Jesus was put to death and put in a grave. The grain of wheat is placed in the ground where it dies. The piece of property that we wanted, we talked to people who owned the land, and we told them that we would like to purchase some of their property. Actually, Lowell, I don't know who was with Lowell. Della? And they were told that we will never sell the property because we want our sons to develop it. They're builders, they're developers, and so we will never sell you this property. The death of our vision. You know, God's building program during the death of a vision is to provide and produce inner qualities within us, to build His character in us. Since God is far more concerned with us becoming like Jesus Christ in character than He is with our good works to further His kingdom, He needs the time of waiting to accomplish character building in our lives. The vision provides the motivation to not become discouraged during this time of a death of a vision. This time of death and of character building prepares us for a greater ministry when he finally does fulfill the vision. Notice some of the qualities, character qualities, that are developed in your life over time, especially over time of the death of a vision. Patience in waiting for God's time. Faith in knowing what he will do. Meekness in yielding our personal rights and our desires to him. Self-control in not running ahead of God. And many other things does he want to produce in us, and he produces these qualities in us during the time of a death of a building. That's his building program. He's trying to build you. He's trying to build his character in you. He's trying to build his character in his church. But Satan also has a building program during this time. During the time of the death of a vision, Satan has his own plan. Satan's plan and purpose is to destroy God's work in our lives as much as the potential for achieving God's work as he can. He prompts us to fulfill and try in our own energy and wisdom to fulfill the original vision. He doesn't want God's qualities. And wherever we would follow his leading, conflicts result. A classic example of that is Abraham trying to fulfill God's promise of being the father of a great nation by not waiting upon God, but by having a son with Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. Conflict resulted, and conflict has resulted ever since between those two descendants. Trying to do God's will our own way will not work. It will simply produce conflict. Number three, what we have is the supernatural fulfillment of the original vision. He usually fulfills our expectations in ways that we never would have thought of. God had Abraham and Sarah, gave them a son in their old age. And Abraham's vision was fulfilled as he became the father of a great nation. God allowed Joseph to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker, and later the king, later Pharaoh's dream himself, whereupon Joseph was made a ruler in the land of Egypt. Second, only in the throne was Pharaoh greater. God gave Moses signs and wonders to convince Pharaoh and the people that God was speaking through him. And he had the great privilege of seeing his vision of deliverer come to pass as he delivered God's people from the bondage of Egypt and brought them to the door of Canaan's land. God raised Jesus from the dead, and great miracles were performed by the disciples until the gospel literally spread through the whole world at that time. The kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, but a harvest springs up out of the very process of death in the ground. Our church has received miracle after miracle this week as we have seen God supernaturally fulfill the original vision. Let me rehearse some of the events of this past week. Last Sunday, Tom and Lori went to Quick Trip before coming to Sunday school. They saw the property on Highway 128 and 60th Avenue on the northwest side of the road for sale. Lori told Debbie about it, and Debbie told me, but for some reason I was thinking that was the wrong piece of property. And we eventually did look it up on the internet, and we found there was only one piece of property in Wilson on Highway 128 that was for sale, and it was on sale for $678,000. Too much for us. On Monday, George and Gail's dryer broke down. I'm kind of sorry about that it broke down, but you'll understand why it broke down in a minute, because they called Lowell to come and fix it. And Lowell was on his way to the bank in Menominee, and so he said that he would stop by and fix it. But before he left, the bank called and said that Jill had to come with Lowell because She had to sign some papers. They needed her signature. She was the one that spotted the property that was for sale that day.
Could I add one other?
Ad, go ahead.
Jill was terribly sick that morning and slept all the way and woke up after we got off 94. She woke up just when the sign appeared.
Now, if Lewis's dryer didn't break, and if the bank hadn't called back and said, we need Jill, we need her signature, Lowell called the realtor. Then he called me. When he told me the price, I asked him if he heard right. I told him what we found out on the internet. He double-checked with the realtor. We had an emergency board meeting Monday night. On Tuesday, we purchased the property with 20 acres. And just after we purchased it, two more offers came in. On Thursday, we were trying to find a surveyor. I was going through the phone book. I didn't find any local surveyors. Debbie reminded me that she had saw a sign for a surveyor across from the Glen Hills Golf Course. He turned out to be Joel Brandt, Sonny Brandt's son. He was the best one that we could get because he lives in this township and he knows all the ins and outs and the workings, and he knows the people that are on the board, and he is probably the only one that could get the preliminary drawings into the Springfield Township meeting tomorrow night. Now, I was supposed to meet with Joel between 2 and 2:30 at the property. He called, and for some reason, he was able to meet earlier than that. He said he could meet me at the property at about 12:45. While we were there, a man drove up and he asked me if we had just purchased the property. And I said, yes. He asked me what we were going to do with it. I said, we're a church. We would like to keep 10 acres. We would like to sell off 10 acres. He said, consider it sold. Lowell contacted the other board members and got their permission to negotiate with them. We met with him Friday morning and sold him 10 acres. I want you to know that the property there is going to cost us very little, maybe nothing at all, because there are some things that are still being worked out. Now, if Debbie hadn't seen that sign, if Joel Brandt hadn't been able to meet earlier than he said, if the purchaser of the other half of the property had not been driving by while we were at the site, see, these are too many coincidences to be coincidences. I believe we have seen God at work. We have experienced miracles. Even the man who purchased the other 10 acres from us admits to it being a miracle. As we were telling him what was going on, he admits that a miracle, and then he added his own miracle. He said, I never go home for lunch at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but Thursday he did. Psalm 103 in verse 7 says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And not only that, but this man has agreed to buy the lot between the new parsonage and the old parsonage. And there are some things that are still in the works. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited to see where it's going to go from here. I'm looking forward to the next miracle. But I would also like to take this time to publicly thank Glenn Malsine, because Glenn offered us some property off Highway 12 free of charge. And the way I look at it is, because Glenn was willing to give this to God, God blessed him and allowed him to keep it. And I know that God's got a plan for that property as well. And Glenn, I believe that God will bless you just as much as if we would have actually taken it from you, because it's what you in your heart is what counts. That's what God looks at. God looks at the heart. And I'm praying that God blesses him tremendously for their sacrifice. I thank the Lord for men like that who are willing to give and to sacrifice to see God at work. But I want you to know in closing today that the birth of a vision requires faith. Visualizing what God intends to do. The death of a vision requires hope. Anticipating and expecting God to work out His revealed will in my life, even when it doesn't seem possible. Even when it doesn't seem possible. Hang on to hope, because that's how God proves that He's God. Because He did it when we couldn't do it. He'll do it when you can't do it. Proving that He is the one that's ultimately in control. Proving that He is God. The fulfillment of a vision produces love. The motivation to reproduce Christ's character in others, as He has done in me. I can't wait to share with you the vision that I have for a new church and what God is going to do in that new church. I'm beginning to get a vision of what God is going to do there. And I've talked with some of you, and I know some of you have a vision of what God is going to do there. Other people are getting visions. And I know that God is in this from the very beginning. And He is going to do exceeding abundantly above more than we could even ask or think. Ask God to show you a vision. Please get on board with us. Let's help each other. Let's further the work of God. And do things that I think we'll stand back and say, God, it was only You that made this possible. I'm going to keep track of all the miracles that God performs in this project. I just want you on with us. Come aboard with us. Get a vision of what God wants to do in your life. Get a vision of what God wants to do in our church. And get a vision of how you can be involved, what your role, what your part is in this church and continuing to build God's kingdom. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand, but I know this. I know that God wants to make known His ways to you. He wants to show you His ways. He wants you to understand His ways so that He can demonstrate His mighty acts. Right where you're at, would you just pray silently to the Lord? Lord, help me to know Your ways. Help me to know Your ways. Give me a vision. Give me a purpose that I can build my life around. Lord, today we just stand in amazement of who You are and what You do. We thank You for the miracles that have taken place this week. We thank You for Your hand we see so evidently upon Your church. Lord, we pray that everything that You want to accomplish will be accomplished. Lord, not one of us would be able to stand in Your way and hold You back. But Lord, I pray that You would speak to each individual heart as well. Lord, give them a vision, give them a purpose, give them a cause, and give us the grace to carry it out. Give us the strength to carry it out. Give us the ability to carry it out. Your supernatural plans require Your supernatural power. So we pray for that power. We pray it and we ask it in Jesus' name.